All right, turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to stay planted. Come on, you knew best. Say, stay planted. There you go. But today, let's stay focused in and go right into the word. We started the series last week called Stay Planted, and we're going to continue today called Stay Planted. We talked about last week the question, asked the question, where are you planted? Matter of fact, today we're going to talk about the thought to stay in the house. Everybody say, stay in the house. Now, I want you to use the same phrasing and tone of voice your mama would have used with you when you was growing up when she left the house and said, telling somebody, say, stay in the house. Don't you remember when you was a kid, even those of you who have kids, one of the things we say to our children when they are maybe at that pre-teenage or getting old enough to maybe be by themselves for a short time, but we don't fully trust them yet? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, my teenager is right there, Pastor. Well, that same happens. So we had that time, maybe got to run somewhere where they can't go, and there's going to be an in-between time when they're by themselves. And what do we say to them? We say, all right, you're going to be home alone, but lock the doors and stay in the house. I remember doing this with my youngest children not too recently, and they're like, what if you do not go outside? Stay in the house. Mom will be back shortly. I got to leave. Stay in the house. And, of course, it had been raining outside that day, and I come home, and there is mud track all the way from the yard, the sidewalk, into the house. You come home, we're like, all right, who went out of the house? Not me. We're like, someone went out of the house. How'd the mud get in the house? It wasn't here when I left. Now it's here, you know. Well, I was just going outside to get the ball. Who threw the ball outside? Well, my brother did. You know, all these things happen. There's a reason why we're trying to get our kids to stay in the house. Why is it? We're trying to protect them, right? We know that there's a bigger chance of something bad going wrong when there's not adult supervision there. So we tell them, stay in the house, keep the doors locked. It's a lot safer that way. For many of us here, it's a principle that carries over to our spiritual walk that God is wanting you to learn to stay in the house. Let's go to our text today in Psalms 1. This is really our theme for this whole series. Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He stands in the path of sinners, nor sits at the seat of the scornful. Those who bicker and complain. He says, but his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. The person who delights is in the law of the Lord. The person who dwells and thinks about and meditates day and night on what? His law, the word of the Lord, God's Bible, the word of God. What's it say about this person? He shall be like a tree, what? He shall be like a tree, what? Planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And so today, I believe God is wanting to plant you. He wants to plant all of us. It's God's design. He wants to plant us. Last year, we talked about the theme of breaking new ground, and we go to a place that we've never been before in God. We're breaking new ground, and we get there. And what comes next after I give my heart totally to God, after I surrender everything to God and take that next step, what's next? The next step is this. Stay planted. Stay planted. God wants you to stay in the house. God wants you to stay planted where he is planting you. It's just as important to stay planted once you get there as it is to try to get there. Look at this statement I made. Many times it's harder to stay in the place God has placed you than it is to actually get there. We work really hard to get there, and then we fall back. And it's just as hard or harder many times to stay at that next level God's calling us to than it is to actually get there. And we know this because many of us, if we're telling the truth to today, we've been there before. God's called us to a higher place in him. We've gotten there before, only to slide back. We've achieved it before, only to slide back. And we know that it's very true that it's just as hard or harder to stay at the level God's placed you, to stay at the place God's called you and planted you, than it is to actually get there. It takes work, and you got to decide, am I going to stay where God's planting me, or am I going to allow myself to slide back? Turn to your neighbor and say, stay in the house. Come on, say it again. Say, stay in the house. It's time to stay in the house. This word place we see in Scripture that we're talking about is a twofold meaning. We're being planted in a place. God plants us in a place. First of all, he talks about a spiritual place that he has for all of us. And he also plants us in a local place. He's got a spiritual level that he's calling us to, and he's got a local level that he's calling us to. The spiritual level, we know, is very much true that God wants you and I to grow. He says we are called to go from glory to glory. We're called to grow from strength to strength. And this is the problem we have in church today, is that we look around the room and we compare. Way too often we compare. And those of you who've been saved a long time, we look around at other people who haven't been saved that long and go, well, I'm at a higher level spiritually than they are, so I'm okay. But we come down to the true fact is this, that person maybe only been saved a year, but they've grown three levels in their walk with God, and you've been stuck at the same level for 20 years. So you tell me who's growing and who's not. Oh, just turn your neighbor and say, he's going to get good in the house today. He's going to challenge all of us. I say that out of love, but it's the truth, isn't it? If we're not careful, we can get into this criticizing or feeling comfortable because we feel like we're above somebody else in maturity. But the fact is, you got to ask yourself, have I grown to where God's calling me to go? Have I made any steps this year? And so we know to be true that God has different levels that he wants to take us to. Whether you've been saved 1 year or you've been saved 50 years, doesn't make a difference. God is calling us to grow from faith to faith. From season to season, he's got a season of growth that he's calling us all to go into. And so we got to get there and realize God's calling me. And when I get there, I got to learn to stay. You know, the gym is full of people with New Year's resolutions, isn't it? Come on, raise your hand if you've ever made a New Year's resolution about getting in shape, losing weight, or exercising. Raise your hand if you've ever done that. Come on, be honest. It'll make a difference if you're stuck with it or not. If you've ever made that resolution, raise your hand. This is about everybody in this room has made some kind of resolution at one time. This is my year. I'm going to get back in shape. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to tone up. I'm going to improve my health. And then, you know, the gym is full of people in January. You show up at the gym in January, all of a sudden you can't find a machine to get on. And people are just like shoulder to shoulder in there. You're like, wow, you know. And everybody looks at each other. You know what happens? Let me tell you the inside scoop that really happens when that happens. The people who are at the gym all year round, they come in and they laugh at each other and go, it's crowded tonight, isn't it? Give it a couple weeks and it'll be back to normal. That's really what happens. They laugh because they've been there before. They see the surge in January of people who are making these New Year's resolutions, but they don't stick with it. And if truth be known, the only way it's going to benefit you is not to show up in January, but to show up in February, March and April, June, July, August, September, October, November, and even December. You can take a break because everybody deserves a break in December in the holiday season, but you're back at it in January. Those are the people who stick with it are the ones who plant themselves, who see the results they're trying to get. Well, it just doesn't work for me. I went 2 weeks and I didn't see any change. It's not going to happen overnight. You got to stay with it. And the same thing in our life, we got to say, you know, but it's hard. Let me just give you credit. It's hard to get there for the first time. If you're out of shape, it's hard to get there. Half the battle is in your mind. If I show up, I'm going to be out of shape. People are going to stare at me because I can't do very much weight. I do 2 minutes on the treadmill. I'm like, oxygen, please. Someone's going to have to do CPR, Pastor, if I go to work out. I'm scared. And so all these things, and some of the biggest battle is just getting up there, signing the contract, getting your key to the gym, and making that step out. That's a big battle. Let me say, it's just as hard or harder once you get there to stay there. It happens. And so the only to get the benefit of it is that what? Those who stay planted and are there on a weekly basis. You can't miss months at a time and expect to stay in shape. No, you gotta be there weekly. You gotta be putting in some effort. Are you following me where I'm going today, okay? And see, those who will benefit being planted are those who stay planted on a regular basis. When you allow yourself to fall back, not to be planted, you're missing out on everything that God has for you. So we see that the place is a spiritual place. God is planting us. There's also a local place, as we talked about last week, that God is planting us. Our spiritual place is affected by our local place, our church, that God plants us. And this is amazing to me that we'll see many people who come to Destiny Church. We had a lot of people to come through our doors. A lot of people come, and their message will be this: oh, man, my life was changed today. Every time I go, it's like Pastor Gene is speaking right to me, right to my heart. It's like the Holy Spirit is, I'm changing, I'm growing. I can't believe that. I needed that. I feel so much better when I'm there. I feel so much stronger when I'm connected. And then we're like, I'll see you on Easter, you know. I'm just like, I can't get that. I don't understand it. Why would you disconnect yourself from the very place that God's wanting you to grow? Well, I'm busy. Well, so you're busy. Get over it. You're not going to grow unless you're planted. You got to be there. You got to say, I'm going to make sure I'm get planted and be there. That's the only way you're going to grow in the place that God's calling you to be. And the only way you'll stick is when you grow your roots deep. We got to be consistent. You got to grow those roots deep and be planted in what God wants us to be. Why is that? Because God wants you to grow those roots deep so that when the winds of life come blowing, and they will, when the storms of life come your way and rain on your parade and what's going on in your family, your life, the only way you're going to be still and not go back to where you used to be is if your roots are planted deep in God. The only way you can step up to the enemy and say, all right, I'm going through a season of weeping, but the Bible says that weeping may last for a night, but joy returns in the morning. The only way you can say it with faith is when you've allowed yourself to be planted and say, I shall not be moved. I am planted where God has planted me. I'm planted in the place God has placed me spiritually. I'm planting myself in the place locally where I'm being fed, and my family's there, and I'm not going to be moved. Yeah, we're going through a rough patch, but I'm going to be planted where God's planted me. Let's go to our text. We're going to talk about this text today and a lot more next week, but I'm going to go ahead and read it to you today. It's a famous story that Jesus told. Jesus was known for telling stories and teaching us through examples, through stories that you and I could understand and relate to our life. And this is one of the most famous stories that Jesus ever told. Jesus said, and there was a certain man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far-off country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there was, he arose to a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent himself into the fields to feed what? The pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I here perish with hunger? He goes, I will rise. I will go to my father's house, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose, came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. He had compassion. He ran. He fell upon his neck and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand. Everybody say, put a ring on it. There you go. Put a ring on it, on his left hand. And what? Oh, not the left hand. On his hand, and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is now found. And they begin to be merry. Now, this story is a great story. Jesus is detailing the relationship of the father and the son. It has many meanings, but the main meaning of this story is really all about the grace that the father gives to the son. The really meaning of the story is this. It's all about the father patiently waiting for the son to quit being ignorant and immature and to grow up and the return to the house. This is really what the story's about. It says the father continued to look for the son to return. And once his son began to return, the father had compassion and fell upon him, gave him grace and mercy, and reseated him back to the place he needs to be. This is the story of this story. And it's all about the Father having patience. We see in Scripture says love is what? It's patient. But I want you to get this point. That no matter what, no matter what you're going through, don't leave the house. Don't leave the house. The son should have never left the house. No matter how discomfort he was feeling. Maybe he wanted to spread his wings and fly a little more. Maybe he didn't like the rules that were of the house. Maybe he didn't understand. But the bottom line is the son should have never left the protection of the father's house. It was not his season to do this. It was not his timing to do this. We'll get more in this next week. But we got to realize that he should have never left the house that God had placed him in. You ever notice that when you're in the right place, that Satan doesn't mess with you near as much as he does when you're not? I mean, last week we talked about being Adam and Eve being planted in the Garden of Eden. And Satan meets them where? At the one place they're not supposed to be. He doesn't lead them there. He meets her there at the one place they're not supposed to be. See, when you get out of the house that God has designed for you to be in, where God is planting you, Satan messes with you a lot more. Not that he won't try to mess with you when you're in the right house, but it seems like when you're out in the wrong house, he messes with you a lot more. You ever notice that when you're plugged in, you're prayed up, that you're walking in your spiritual authority, that Satan don't mess with you near as much? He tries to push your buttons, and you're like, Satan, no weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of the Lord. You walk in this new spiritual authority. You're prayed up. You're reading your word. But it's when you get unplugged from the place God's trying to plant you that Satan begins to attack you more and more. It begins to push you around. Ever notice that when you are prayed up and you're in the right place, your discernment meter kicks into high gear? I mean, you can discern things left and right. You're like, I see the devil working all through that person. I see this over here is a trap. I see this is the trap of the enemy. This is what Satan's trying to use to get me discouraged. This is what he's trying to get me to fail right here. And man, you're all over the place. You sniff it out. You can just feel it when you should be. You can feel it. It's the gift of discernment that every believer can have. But when you get disconnected, your discernment meter goes all crazy. You're like, I can't discern left from right sometimes. I can't discern what's God, what's not of God. I can't discern what's good, what's not of good. Why is that? Because we get disconnected. But when you get connected in a place spiritually that God has for you, both spiritually and physically, the spiritual place God has for you, things go so much more smoother in our life. And I want you to realize that this, because next time Satan comes to you and tries to discourage you, you ever heard the story of the young man? He didn't want to get out of bed and go to church. You ever heard that story? He says, my mom comes to his son, get up, it's time for church, get to church. He goes, Mom, I don't want to go to church today. Now, some of you are looking at yourself, say, it was pastor at our home today. This story is not about you, okay? But the mom says, Son, you got to go to church. He says, Mom, tell me why do I have to be at church today? She goes, I'll give you two reasons. One, it's the right thing to do. God expects us to be in this house. And number two, you're the pastor, so get up and go to church. Now, we all have days like that. But what I want you to get in your spirit is this. The next time Satan begins to get in your mind and says, you don't need to go to church today, you say, no. That's a trick. Satan is trying to get me isolated from the right place. He's trying to shorten my roots from the right place. He must be up to some tricks this week. I better get to church. I better be planted. I better get to where God's planning me to be because he's up to something. He's trying to isolate me. This is where Satan attacks us when we get out of the place. He attacks us when we're isolated. You ever watch National Geographic when, you know, the lions are attacking and they're stalking their prey? The Word of God says that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking for who? That he may devour. He wants to kill. So think about it. You ever watch those guys? Man, they stalk the herds. And what do they? They wait for the one who strays away from the pack. They wait for the one who leaves the shepherd, and then they pounce on him and kill him. Now, let's just say this. There is something to be said about that. There is safety when you stay in the herd. There is safety when you stay under the shepherd's anointing. There's safety when you stay in the right house and be in the right place. And I can guarantee you, not all the sheep are living right. Not all the sheep are doing their best. But I can tell you this, there's protection when you're in the right spot. At least there's protection with the group. You stay close enough for the shepherd's staff, protect. There's something about staying in the right spot that God places us. Last week we talked about this. I want to repeat it today. Environment matters to God. Remember, He spent 5 days creating the place in creation. He spent the first 5 days creating the place. First He creates the sky, then He creates the ocean, then He creates the grounds and the grass and the trees, then He puts the birds in the air, then He puts the fish in the sea, then He places the cattle upon the earth. First He creates their environment, then He places the things that go in that environment. And then for us, He creates 5 days, He creates the environment, and then He spends 1 day creating the man. Don't tell me that God's not concerned with our environment. He is so much concerned with our environment, He spends all of creation, almost all of creation, detailing the environment that we live in. That we can breathe just right. That we can eat just right. That we can live just right. He is detailed on our environment. So environment matters to God. The place that you're plugged in, it matters to God. You cannot hit and miss and expect to grow where God's wanting to take you. I'm saying this out of love. Let me say it again. You can't hit and miss and expect that God's going to plant you to that next level. You want to go from glory to glory. You want to grow. Then you got to stay planted and allow God to take you to the next place. Stay in the house. Stay in the place that God is planting you spiritually. Stay in the place God is planting you in your local place of worship. There's a popular trend right now. It's called privatized Christianity. It's popular, but it's so unbiblical. It's a popular trend right now that people are saying, well, I don't need to be plugged into a church. I don't need a local body. I just love God and I worship a home pastor and I don't need a local church. And let me just say this to you. You cannot do Christianity independent of Christian community. God had never designed it. Now, I know there's always extreme cases, and God's grace is there for those people who aren't able to be involved because of extreme cases. They cannot be involved in Christian community. But God has always designed for Christians to be involved in the local church, in the local Christian community. This is where we grow. This is where we flow. This is where we serve. This is where we give. This is where God grows us. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, let me just tell you this. Look at the statement I made. You would need no spiritual gifts if Christianity was all an independent thing. Think about that. If Christianity was an independent thing, then why did God give gifts, spiritual gifts to the church? He says, I give you these gifts for what? For the edification of the body of Christ. That's all of us. God wants to give you spiritual gifts that you can use to help other people in the body of Christ. And you can't help other people in the body of Christ if you're not planted in the body of Christ. God wants you to be planted deep in His Word, deep in the body of Christ. The Christian walk is not just about being born again, but it's about being born into the family of God as well. We are the family of God. Look what Hebrews 10:25 says. Paul said this like this. I love Paul. This is what Paul says, very plain. Don't forsake, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some. Look, this is not anything new. This is not a new problem. Paul said the church has been dealing with it for years, so people thought they could be independent of not meeting together in the local church. They could just say, I'm just going to love God. I'll stay out of this, though. No, Paul says, don't forsake coming together as the body of Christ. Don't forsake it. Don't quit doing it. This is nothing new. Satan's been using these same tricks from generation to generation, trying to disconnect you from the body so he can attack you outside the body. Stay connected. Stay planted. Well, Pastor, I can just feed myself spiritually. I can feed myself spiritually. And I say, yes, you can. And great. Matter of fact, that's another part of the series later on. I'm going to be teaching you how to feed yourself spiritually. You need to learn to do that. You need to learn how to feed yourself spiritually. But let me say this to you. That if God designed for you to only eat by feeding yourself, then why does Scripture says that he gave you the pastors and teachers as part of the fivefold ministry to equip us to do the work of the ministry? Everybody needs a pastor. Everybody needs teaching. I'm a pastor. I teach you, but I'm listening all week to other teachers and other preachers. I'm downloading their iCast. I'm watching online. When I'm working out, I got it going through my earphones. Why? Because I need it. I'll be honest. I need to feed myself so that in return, I can feed you as well. We need to be fed by other people. And so it's just not enough to feed yourself. You also need that. That's what God designed the church to work hand in hand. See, God knows where you need to be planted. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:18. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body. God has placed the parts in the body. God has what? The parts? Placed. Everybody say placed. Let's say that God has planted. Let's put it that way. God has planted the parts in the body. Who's the body? That's all of us. He's not talking about our physical bodies. He's talking about the spiritual body. And he goes on to talk about spiritual bodies. He says some are different parts of the body. Some are the head. Some are the hands. Some are the feet. Some are the, well, we won't go there. But anyway, different parts of the body. He said it belonged to the church. And together we come together and we make the body as one, the whole. We all are important. And he says that God has planted them there. Every one of them, just like he wanted them to be. So we know the enemy will attack us when we're spiritually weak. He will try to get you out of the spiritual greenhouse that God has planted you in. So when the enemy begins to attack you, you say, no. He's setting me up. He's setting me up. Think about Samson. Samson was called to protect the house of Israel. His anointing was in the house of Israel. And it wasn't until he started hanging out with the Philistines that he really got himself in trouble. Oh, he was a heathen back in the house of Israel. We see where he had some problems back in the house of Israel. But when he stepped out of the house that God had called him to, he started hanging out in the wrong place. That's where he became weak, got his hair cut off, and then the enemy overtook him and eventually cost him his life. Why? Because he got out of the right house. Are you seeing a pattern here? There's a place when God places you in a house. When God places you where you're called to be planted, you got to stay there. You stay where God is feeding you. You stay there. Enemy wants to loosen your connection. You got to stay planted. Now, some of you, you understand exactly what I'm preaching about today, because you've been in some places in your life where, man, let's just be honest, that even though it may have been seasons of great, there's also some, you've been through a long time of a very dry place in your life. I hear people all the time come in and say, Pastor, it's been so refreshing to be here. I spent a lot of years in the last place I was at, and I just wasn't, got to the point where I was not being fed anymore, and I just emotionally, you know, was dry. Spiritually, it was dry. And I waited and waited, and finally, it's there. And so when you come into a place where you feel the living waters flowing, you're like, man, it feels good. Oh, I don't take that for granted. I'm going to be here. And you know in your mind, you're like, don't take this place for granted. Don't take a place where God is moving for granted. They're out there. But not every church has got that same thing. Not every church is doing that. And so the seasoned people, they understand that. And they're like, man, this is good. I want to stay where God is moving, where God is growing me, where God is changing me. I want to stay where God is using me. And you understand that. But the person maybe who's never been saved before, you're just getting saved, and you're coming in and learning. Church is still just a piece of the pie of your life. And God says, I don't want to be a piece of the pie. I want to be the whole pie. It's just not a slice of my life. It should be everything. God, I want to do things according to your will. God, I want to do things according to your plan. I want to mix all my life into what you want me to be. And I realized I got to be planted. In order to see that take place in my life, I got to be planted. Don't take for granted what God's doing in your life. It should be planted every week as you can. You got to get here. You got to say, man, it may be tough. I got to get here. Maybe we were out of town all weekend, and maybe we had a long tournament on Saturday. Been there, done that. But Sunday morning, you're tired, don't want to get up. But you say, no, I don't want to get up. We're tired, but I got to get up. I got to get my wife up. I got to grab my kids. We got to get to the house of the God and get planted. No, I've got to stay planted. It's going to take work. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take discipline. But these are the people who will go from glory to glory. It was a late night. Yeah, it was. We have them. I have them, you have them, we were there. But it takes a spiritual discipline to say, I'm going to be planted. I'm not talking about when you're on vacation. I understand. I hope you go on vacation and take vacation with your family. Enjoy it. But I'm talking about when you are around this area, you should say, I'm going to have my family in the house of God. Whatever church you go to, I should have my family in that house as much as possible so we can stay planted. The prodigal son's life didn't go downhill until he left the father's house. Isn't it amazing? The prodigal son's life didn't go downhill until he left his father's house. He was in the house, and he may not have liked what was going on. He may have been had some things they wasn't real sure about, but his life really didn't go downhill. Even though his attitude was probably obviously immature, and his actions are very immature, he didn't get in trouble until he stepped out of the father's house. That's where the trouble really started for him. Stay in the house. Look what 2 Corinthians 2:11 says. Talking about Satan, he says, in order that Satan might not outplay. Satan is trying to outplay you. Yes, I like Survivor, as you can tell. In order that Satan might outwit us. Listen, Satan is trying to outwit you. For we are not, look at what he says, for we are not unaware of his schemes. You see the same principle in Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can what? Take your stand against the devil's schemes. All right, tonight we know there's a lot of football going on today, right? Anybody excited about any of the games tonight? Got a Bronco fan? Yeah, you've been asleep the whole service. Holy Broncos! I'm just playing with you, buddy. Talking football, you're coming, Blake. I even see a few jerseys back here in the back. I felt anointing. He kind of weakened in that back corner back there, brother. I'm just playing with you. Tonight, two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time are going to play against each other. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. We know these guys are going to play against each other. These are two of the best ever to play. You know what makes these guys so great? Is they have the ability to step up to their line of scrimmage. Defense is on one side. Of course, they're on the offense, and they look out. And they can assess everything the defense is going to do before they ever do it. They know in their mind where the blitz is coming from. They know the coverage. They know where the open spots are going to be. They know where the holes are going to be. And if they're not there, they call audibles. An audible to the play is going to work best. Why? Because these guys have just figured out what's going to happen. Even on the opposite end, when the defense can understand the schemes of the offense, when the defense lines up and the linebackers are looking out there and they see the slot man go in motion, they see this formation, they're on the strong side, they're calling out, strong side, strong side, weak side, weak side. They know which way the ball's going. They're calling it out before the ball's ever snapped. Why? Because they have studied tape. They have figured out the schemes of the offense. Now, when the defense figures out the schemes of the offense loses its advantage over the defense. Are you following me? Okay? So this is what you got to understand is this, that the Word of God says that the devil has schemes and he is using them to pull you and I down. But let me tell you, the devil has no new schemes. He's been using the same schemes for hundreds and thousands of years. The same schemes he used on David, he wants to use on you. The same schemes he used on Moses, he wants to use on you and I. The same schemes he used on the disciples, he wants to use on I and you. Why? Because Satan, he is not the creator of anything new. He got the same old tricks, but only God has the power to create something new. He calls things as though they are not, as though they were. And boom, they are there. See, our father, our quarterback, our captain, he can create new things on the spot. And so when I'm in the house and I'm plugged in under his leadership and under his anointing, when the devil comes with his schemes, Jesus is like, please, ain't nobody got time for that. Come on. What are you doing? He's like, this is nothing new. This is the same scheme. Let me reveal it to you. And you understand what's happening. You understand where you're being attacked, why you're being attacked. Why? Because you're in the house planted and you can fight off the schemes of the enemy. That's why you got to be planted. And when you're not planted, you'll never be able to fight off the schemes of the enemy. You got to be planted spiritually in a place that God is planting you to go from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And you got to be planted in the house of God where you are being taught and nurtured, your greenhouse that God is growing you up and allowing you to spread your wings and to grow up. Even if you're immature, stay in the house. Even if you're not living in the right like you need to, stay in the house and work through it. But get in the house and stay there under God's protection and anointing and say, God, I know I need to change some things. God, I know, but I got to get planted right here and say, God, it's time for me to grow up and get planted. It's time for me to quit using excuses. I got to get my family planted. I got to get myself planted. No, this is a year. I've got to quit being in and out. No, it's time for me to get planted during the good and during the bad. That's where God is wanting to grow me and to grow you. I'm going to ask our musicians to come today. As they're coming today, this is your year to get connected, to get planted. The enemy wants to distract your life. He wants to pull you out of the house. He'll use any scheme he can to get you out of the house that you're planted in so he can attack you. Know the devil's schemes. Know when he's distracting you. Know when he's occupying you. Know when things are out of control that, hey, wait. I'm allowing this to just take me out. I gotta stay planted. As for me and my house, we gotta be planted in the house of the Lord. I gotta make sure. I want you to bow your heads this morning. I want to ask everyone here today, say, Pastor, you're talking about being planted in the Father's house and under the Father's anointing, coverage. Let me just say to you today, maybe you're here, you'd never put yourself under God's authority in your life. How's that happen? When you simply say, God, I need to confess that I'm a sinner and I need you to save me. I need to ask you to forgive me my sins. I've never prayed that prayer, Pastor, but today I want to pray that prayer. I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. You're talking to me today. I need to make Jesus my Lord of my life. We won't embarrass you one bit today. Nobody's looking around but me, but if you want to pray that prayer today, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Come on, raise it high right now. Thank you. Anybody else? Raise it right now. That's me, Pastor. Thanks, guys. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Today's my day. I need to accept Jesus. Thank you, guys. Anybody else today? I want to join these who are raising their hands. I'm going to ask one more time. If you haven't raised it and you want to accept Jesus, raise your hand right now. We're going to say this prayer together, especially those who raise your hands. I want you to repeat out loud with me. As Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you as well. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life, all of my sin, all of my hurt, all of my pain, all of my dreams. I give you everything in my life. I will live for you from this day forward. I surrender to your lordship in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it, we say welcome to the family of God. Give him a hand. Yeah, that's awesome, guys. It's the first step of being planted is making that decision to join the family of God. Like I said today, you got to be planted in the local church. You got to plant yourself there. Plant yourself there. Now I want you guys to stand on your feet with me. Join me today. Stand on your feet. Join me today. If you're here today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to stop by the back, in the very back, when you leave. And we got a free Bible for you. Some other information in there that tells you what you need to do next to help get yourself planted. So stop by and get that free Bible. This is our gift to you today. But today, how many here is the pastor? This year, I want God to plant me deep. This year, I want to be planted like never before. Anybody want to raise your hand? That's you? Yeah. That's my prayer. That's my prayer personally as well. God, take me deeper than you've ever been before, God. I'm going to invite you to join me, those who want to today. Join me around the front today as we step out. If you're a guest today, we step out of our seat many times and come to the front. Just as a sign, say, God, we're stepping out into agreement with this word that was spoken over our life today. I know it can be kind of crowded, but that's what we like. Sometimes it's kind of cool to worship real close to somebody. There's power up here when that happens. So come on in, scoot into the front, guys. Make room for those coming in. So we close out with a song that simply says, Sons and Daughters of the King. How many today are thankful that God has called us sons and daughters? And we're in His house. He's a loving, patient Father who waits for us to return home. And He showers us with His grace. Listen, this is your year. This is your year to be planted deeper than ever before. And say, God, I'm going to be a son and daughter of you. Step in, press in a little closer to the front, guys. Make room for those coming in. Thank you. Come on, Castellitas.
sin from us. Oh, hello, has a name. It's Jesus crucified, alive today. Lift your voice and sing it out for all that's held us down. Where is it now? Where is it now?
Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise this house today. Put your hands up to him this morning. Father, right now, Lord, I want to pray. Before they leave today, God, I want to pray over every person in this house, Lord. Thank you, dear God, that you are calling us to a season of staying planted. That God, we declare during this season of my life that, God, I'm going to allow my roots to grow deep. I'm going to reject the schemes of the enemy to get me disconnected. I'm going to reject the schemes and the plans. And I'm going to say, God, I want all of you this year. God, I want to grow deep in you this year. Deeper than I've ever been before in my life. God, I declare that, God, I'm thirsty for more of you. And God, I declare this year that my roots are going to be firmly planted in the house of the Lord, in a place spiritually that God's calling me, that I can go to a different level in you and stay there this year. God, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this group of believers. And God, we give you praise and we say amen and amen. Put your hands together one more time. God, bless your name. And remember, tonight is the kick back off of our life groups. Go there. Get planted in one of our life groups. We'd love to have you a part. God bless you. Have a great day.